Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to two places with me. I want you to go to the 55th Psalm, and I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and the 55th Psalm. Oh, thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in this house tonight. Oh, my, my, my. Thank you, Father. As you turn into the 55th Psalm, I'm going to pray over this word. You just keep turning. I assure you God has the ability to hear me pray while you're turning. So, Father, I just thank you for what you're going to do tonight. I thank you, Father, that there will not be one thing of me interjected into this thing. Father, anything that I have is corruptible, but everything that you do, Father, your seed is perfect. When you plant a seed, it always brings about life. Father, I've planted lots of careless weeds, but God, you always plant life. So I pray tonight that they would just hear you. Anything that I would say that is me, let it go in one of their ears and right out the other. Don't let it have any place within them at all. Now, Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen? I'll ask you a question. Tonight we're going to be talking about being overwhelmed, beyond overwhelmed. How many of you guys, without lying, how many of y'all ever had a day where you just thought to yourself, because listen to me, there's a bunch of you in here that I know you sure enough big, bad, and tough. You know what I've noticed about a bunch of big, bad, and tough boys? They're really so big and bad that when things get rough, they go get a bottle. You know, that ain't called being big and bad. That's called being a coward. You know what? I've asked many a beautiful woman to dance when I was drunk. I'd have never asked them when I was sober. Amen? Let me tell you something. You want to know what takes courage? Be fat and ugly and ask the hottest woman in the bar to dance. That's courage. It's either courage or stupidity. One of the two. I ain't got no idea. Amen? Now, I know some of you good Christian folks, I saw your hiney kind of puckered when I said in a bar. You're like, oh my goodness, did he say bar in church? Listen to me, I wasn't always a preacher, amen? And if you want to know the truth, listen to me. I don't blame some people for wanting to go to a bar and not go to a church. Hello? Some of you religious people are looking at me and that made you mad. Guess what? I don't care. It's the truth. Are you hearing me? Because when somebody walks into a bar, as long as they're buying drinks or if they're fun, everybody wants to hang out with them. It don't matter if they're ugly, if they've got problems, if they're running around on their old lady, or if they're going through a divorce, or if they're thinking about getting married. I mean, they can find acceptance there. But you know what? Sometimes when we come to our churches today, we absolutely have to look a certain way, don't we? Oh, just praise God. I mean, goodness, after all, because if you come to God's house, you should look a certain way. And I mean, after all, I mean, when you walk into God's house, it's so important that you're holy. No, can I tell you what it's important that you are when you come to God's house? It's important that you come real, because if you come real, he'll really change you before long. Amen? Are you hearing me? I'm telling you, if we'll just quit pretending to be something on Thursdays and on Sundays, God can do something in this country. Are you catching a hold to what I'm telling you? So what I want you to do is just be real tonight. How many of you guys, no matter how tough of you are, have ever had one of them days where you thought to yourself, calf rope, I give up. I can't take one more thing. Anybody ever want to just go back to bed? Raise your hand. Is there anybody? I have. I had one the other day. Lord gave me this word, and I was like, man, I love it. I'm going to preach this word. And so I got up that morning, and I went and rented me. Now, I know some of you good people been going to church for a while are sitting there going, he hasn't even read a scripture yet. Shh, don't tell anybody I never went to preaching school, okay? I'll be there in just a minute. So I got up, and I was excited because it's show pig season in Texas. And we got them little baby pigs in the barn, and I like it. Some people like to get up and drink coffee and talk to their wife. I like to drink coffee and talk to my pigs, all right? Amen? Can I be honest with you? It's because I'm not a morning person, and them pigs don't ask me 57,000 questions. They just look at me like, are you going to feed me and watch me poop? Ain't it awesome? So I got up, and it was one of them good mornings. I didn't even take a shower, didn't even brush my teeth because I had nowhere to be. I was just going to go to the barn, hang out, and I'd rented me a rototiller. I'd wet down the arena the night before, and I was just going to go get behind that rototiller and walk around it after I fed the hogs and plow everything up and get everything looking good so we could start walking bears. It was going to be one of them good mornings. And I walk out, and lo and behold, there's this bear that I just got in from Iowa. And man, when I bought him, he was bad to the bone. You know what I'm talking about? And when I come walking in, this is the way he's walking.
Ruh-roh raggy.
So I'm like, oh, come on, man. I just got him here. He's bad to the bone, and he stifled himself playing around, you goofy, stupid pig. I walk out, and I got back on it, and we've been having a little trouble with our whale. And y'all live in a country. If you live in town, thank God for town water, because if you ain't never been in the shower and got all lathered up, I mean all lathered up, and your well goes out, you just ain't never lived. Are you hearing me? Soap is difficult to get off, all right? We've been having this problem with a well. It's been kind of, I know some of y'all going, is there a sermon in here somewhere? There is. Just hang tight with me. So we've been having this problem, our well. One time I came here and preached, and some guys went to the shop, and they heard this guy say, I ain't never going back when he's there. I don't need to hear nobody tell stupid stories. I guess you missed the whole point of the story, because Jesus told lots of them. It's called a parable, and that don't mean two bulls. It's a parable. Some of y'all are going to catch that later tonight. You're going to be laid there in bed, and you're going to go, oh, the fat guy was funny. I get it. Two bulls, not one. I got it plural, not singular. All right. So we've been having problems with a shower, and I mean, it's kind of been, you be in there taking a shower, and it'll stop, but we've got used to it because it kicks back on. Well, I thought to myself, self, you better call the well guy because this don't look good. So the well guy was coming that day. I already got a crippled pig. All right. And that was an enormous amount of money that we paid for him. And now it's going to be real expensive bacon. Toby, you know what I'm talking about? Yes, real expensive bacon. And so I'm out, and the guy comes. I said, well, go look at it. This is what I was doing. And then he comes walking up after he's been there for a while. And if you've ever had somebody working on something of yours, and they come back to you and they go, can we talk? I'm like, no. Because I can't take no more. I mean, it'd be one thing if I had good hair and I was on TBN selling anointed spit napkins and had lots of money, but I ain't that guy. You hear what I'm telling you? We're just a little bitty ministry. We ain't got a lot of money. And I was like, no, not now, God. And God said, yes, now, Ray. And he told me through this guy. The guy said, well, first of all, your holding tank has ruptured. That is what I said. Oh, my goodness. I was like, oh. Girl, you could have, I called my BFF and it was over. I was like, my goodness. Let's go get a scone and a latte mocha. Okay, it was horrible. On a real bad day, we have a caramel macchiato. Whenever time I say caramel macchiato, I think, wah, all right. I don't know why, I just do. So, he says, dude, your pressure tank's busted. I thought to myself, not bad. I know what them cost. We can get that. And he goes, I need to come show you something. I said, dude, I don't want to see nothing else. He said, oh, no, you got to see this. So he hooks up his amperage to my pump, and he says, you see how that's pulling 14 volts? I said, well, yeah, don't seem like a bunch. He said, it ain't supposed to pull over 10. And I said, so what you're telling me is that's bad. I said, are you telling me that the deal being busted is causing that? He said, no, it caused it, and it ain't going to get no better, so you need a pump too. That is exactly, have y'all ever threw your sucker in the dirt? I threw my sucker in the dirt, stuck my bottom lip out, and I was like, God, what else? Yeah, surprise, no. Thank God, no surprises. So he told me what it was going to cost, and I was like, God, I really don't want to preach this message now because I want to tell other people what to do when they're overwhelmed. I don't want to be overwhelmed. How many of you know some of the greatest things that you will ever learn from the Word is when you actually walk through them? So the message that I'm going to share with you tonight, I want you to understand something. I promise you, a couple of days ago, I was as overwhelmed as I could be because it wasn't like I had $2,400 laying around. I had to go figure out where I was going to get $2,400 to do what I needed to the well. Are you hearing me? I was overwhelmed. I don't like it. I mean, any of y'all like trying to figure out where you're going to get money so you can have water? Anybody? Me neither. I was overwhelmed. I was like, God, I've got to be gone. I got to be in Louisiana, and then I got to be in Illinois, and I got to be in Indiana, and I got to be in Ohio. God, I don't have time for this. How am I going to? You know what? Isn't it amazing how we can make our problems bigger than our God if we don't stop? Are you hearing me? Now listen to what the 55th Psalm says, starting in verse 16. I believe it's verse 16. I can't see real good, so if it's not 16, just pick up wherever I'm starting to read from, okay? 55 is in big letters. I know I'm in 55. It says, but I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Whoo! Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress. And he hears my voice. He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me. And even though many people oppose me, God, who is enthroned forever, will hear them and afflict them. Now listen to me. The very first thing that I begin to notice when I begin to read this. How many of you wives in here have ever driven around with your husband for 3 hours and 45 minutes because he was too prideful to stop and ask for directions? Listen, it took you a while to get your hand up, but when she got it up, she's a cheerleading. Sir, we're going to pray for you, all right? I don't need no GPS. There's a Walmart. Let's just go shopping. Now listen to me. Unless you want to stay lost, it's very important. Are you listening to me? Because there's going to be a spiritual truth come. Unless you want to stay lost, you better find some humility and ask someone who knows more than you. But in our life, we spend more time saying, I can do this on my own. You know how we get to a place where we're overwhelmed, beyond overwhelmed? It's because we don't have the courage to humble ourselves and just simply ask God, say, God, I can't take it no more. You want to know how we get to a place where we're broke down? It's because we've been carrying and junk forever that God never intended us to carry. You hear me? We way down south, you say, you hear me? I watch the Water Boy. I know how it goes. Listen to me. The only way that we're ever going to receive God's provision in our life is when we leave our pride at the altar. Hello? See, I'm going to tell you something tonight that I promise you is truth. There is absolutely nothing that you can come against this that will say, oh, maybe I don't know if I agree with this. What I'm about to tell you is absolutely beyond the shadow of a doubt true. You cannot have the will of God in your life and keep your pride as well. You want the will of God? You got to humble yourself. You want to, and now listen to me. You want to see God do something amazing in your life? Get humble. You know the quickest way to promote in the kingdom is to be humble. You know how many people spend their life in a miserable place? It's all because they're absolutely going to do it their way because that's the way they were born, that's the way they were raised, and I've got to do it my way, and I don't need anybody's help. Folks, there's nothing wrong with doing things on your own that you can do, but folks, there is something wrong when you exclude God because you say, I'm too good to have God help me. After all, I can do this on my own. There's some things you can't do on your own. And if you're in this place tonight and you've been battling an addiction for a while, I'd be willing to bet that you've been overwhelmed for a long time, and the only thing that's kept you where you're at is your pride. You find somebody that hides something, it's because they're scared to death to be exposed of who they are, because I can't let people know who I really am. Can I tell you the message of the cross? The message of the cross was he went to a place that we couldn't go because he came from a place that we had never been, and he come to this earth and he did for us what we could not do. And to be quite honest with you, he did for us, Duke, what we did not deserve. Isn't it amazing that the whole message of the cross was somebody humbling themselves to the will of his Father? You know where that got Jesus? Seated at the right hand of his daddy. Y'all want to find some victory in your life, and you want to find being more than a conqueror on days when the well goes out, when the dog bites you and your wife's hollering at you and the bank calls and something happened and your identity been stolen. You want to find something that you can walk in peace, then walk in humility every day of your life and watch the provision of God be fulfilled in your lives. See, pride will always cause you to lie about who you are and where you're at. Humility says, Dad, I'm at a broken place. Humility says, Dad, I'm at a place where I can't make it another day and I need you. Humility says, I got nothing left in my tank, God, and I'm tired of pretending that I do. Because in this house tonight, I will guarantee you there's people that walk through the door and the smile that was on their face did not come from their heart, but they put it on because they felt that that's who they had to be. There's born again believers in this house that put a smile on because they thought it's who they had to be. Honey, quit smiling because you think you have to and let God begin to put a smile in you because you can. Some of y'all getting this, or am I wasting my time? I'm trying. I missed you when you're gone, by the way. Men who never change their ways and have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends and he violates his covenant. His speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. See, he's describing a liar. He's describing someone that absolutely puts something out there that isn't. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It is time. You want to let this world see the Jesus that can set them free? Then let them see the broken you. Hello? What are we going to do? We're going to go out and show everybody that every day we have a perfect day. If you want them to see the reality of the greatness of God, let them see the reality of your brokenness and how God can use someone broken. I am living proof in this house that God can take broken things and restore them. I am living proof of what can happen when a man lets go of his pride and simply cries out to God and said, I can't do it no more. I've been trying to fake it. I've been trying to do it on my own. But God, the reality is I need you. You want to talk about music to God's ears? Let him hear something that he's always known. But it needs to come from you. It needs to come from inside you. I need you. Now listen to verse 22, because I love this. This is what the Lord started me on. This is what I didn't want to preach on. Especially when my well went out and my sucker was in the dirt. And my pig was crippled. How many preachers you ever said his pig was crippled? Now, Miles, we call that slow bacon. Listen to 22. And it, listen to me. If you don't have this underlined in your Bible, hear me. Everybody look at me. I don't care how you grew up. I don't care if some idiot taught you something different. Don't listen to them. They're wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong. You will not go to hell for underlining or writing in your Bible. Matter of fact, I highly encourage it. I have stuff in here written that men of God have shared that years later, I didn't even know why I wrote it down, but 10 years later, God brought it to my memory and I needed it. So you ought to underline this verse. This ought to be something that you ought to have underlined. You ought to be able to know that Psalms 55 and 22 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Can I tell you what righteous means? It's very simple in redneck terms. Right standing with God. Does anybody in that statement read perfect? If you're waiting to be in right standing with God until you're perfect, somebody please explain to me what the cross was for. I have no idea. If we could attain that perfection, why did Christ have to come and die on the cross? Honey, you may not be perfect, but you can be in right standing. And while you're righteous, you're the righteousness of Christ. He is perfecting you and making you like his son. I want you to notice carefully the very first words of this verse 22. It's 8:01. I got to hurry. Cast your cares on the Lord. Cast your cares on the Lord. How many of you notice that word cast? Any of y'all fish? Raise your hand if you fish. Okay. We ain't got much water in Lubbock. But I like fish. But you know what I don't like to do? I don't like to fish for catfish. You know why? Because you take a worm or you put a minnow or whatever, and you go, whew, wait for the bobber to go ding, and then you pull him in. That ain't fishing. That's called wishing I had a beer sitting in a chair. Hello? What a waste of time. I'm on, what'd you do today? I watched a dobber. And I drowned little defenseless worms. No. See, when I was a kid, I had this disease. And it was called ADD. Now listen to me. But they didn't know there was a disease called ADD when I was a kid. So my mama thought it was whoop his butt deficit. All right? Amen? Mama didn't give me a pill. She gave me whelps, all right? But I always wanted to be doing something. So when I went fishing, I figured out catfishing ain't my deal because you know what I like to do? I like to cast. You know why? Because casting's doing something different. You know what I'm talking about? I get bored with doing the same thing, but when you're fishing for them bass, you can cast and reel it in. Cast and reel it in. But I got news for you. You can look at that fishing pole all day long and go, cast. Do it. Come on, pumpkin. And you know what it's going to tell you? If your fishing pole had a mouth and lips and vocal cords and lungs, you know what it'd say?
You have to do something to cast me.
Hello? Now some of y'all are sitting there going, huh? What? A fishing pole talks? Listen carefully. God's not going to come and cast all of your cares on him for you. You know what he's going to do? He's going to show himself to be mighty and strong. He's going to show himself to be faithful and to have the ability to hold and withstand whatever you'll have the courage, whatever you'll have the courage to cast upon him. But if you want God to take the things that are in your life, if you want to quit being so overwhelmed, honey, there ain't but one way to quit being overwhelmed beyond overwhelmed. You have to personally pick up and cast all of your cares and your worries and your anxiety upon him. You can't wish it away. You know how many people I find today that I minister to, and they always start the same way, sir. Oh, I wish things were different. You know what I look at them and tell them? Oh, I wish you wasn't stupid. I really don't tell them that, but in my mind, I have an internal dialogue. Because all the time that they're going, I wish things were different, God's sitting there going, they can be, but I need for you to give me what you're carrying. Because your ex-husband jacked you over 20 years ago and you're still carrying it with you today, don't blame God. Blame the fact that you haven't had the courage to cast it away because you've loved being defined by that victim mentality you've carried on. Now hear me. If you want to give him something, you'll do it. I'm tired of people telling me they want to be free of drug addiction, and then they tell me, oh, I don't know why I went back to it. You went back to it because you wanted to. But you've never been to the 12 steps. Nope, sure didn't. I went to the one step, and that was to the throne, and he absolutely set me free. Amen? Hear me. If you, I don't care if it's drug addiction, pornography, adultery, hatred, hurt, bitterness, strife, lying, whatever it is in your life. If you want to keep it, you can keep it, but it's ignorance gone to seed because he desires for you to cast all of your cares upon him. He doesn't listen to me because so many people are defined by what happened in their life years ago instead of being defined by what happened on the cross. Can you imagine what would happen if we had a church full of people that were defined by the cross and the empty tomb more than they were defined by a divorce decree or an abusive spouse or a drug abuse or a father that harmed you? Now listen to me. I don't take any of those things lightly. You know how many times I was tempted to be defined by a daddy that didn't want me. But I am so thankful that my mother continued to tell me that I didn't have to be defined by a man that made a mistake and didn't want me. I could be defined by the Son of the Living God that came and gave his life on a cross. You see, I'm thankful every day that when people look at me, they don't see a young man that lives in being defeated because his daddy didn't want him. To be honest with you, I am more than a conqueror because of what Jesus Christ did. I decided a long time ago to cast all of that hurt on him. I wasn't going to carry it with me any longer. Can you imagine somebody looking at you and saying, my goodness, you smell like a skunk, and you open your coat and go, hi, this is Pepe Le Pew. I carry him with me everywhere I go. I just don't have the heart to throw him away. Hello? Now, I know that there are some of you going, that's stupid. Okay? And I think sometimes God looks at us and says, how much longer will you carry that stinky stuff and wonder why you stink? How much longer will you allow this stuff to overwhelm you? Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes?